Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn from it. And we pray, Father, that as we gather to worship you, to give you thanks for all your goodness to us, that we may hear you speaking to us, what you would say to each one of us this morning. Maybe something completely different, but we pray, Father, that we may keep our hearts and our souls open to your love shining into it. For Christ's sake. Amen. So today is All Saints' Day. A day to celebrate, and it's not always that it falls on a Sunday. Often it can fall midweek, but it's lovely that it's actually fallen on a Sunday when we can really celebrate. It's a day when we give thanks for all those saints who have followed Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and are now with him in glory. A day when we can rejoice that Jesus has conquered sin and death, and to give thanks that if we are willing, we will come and be with our Father in heaven. Now, in today's society, I think if I went round the church today, we would find that reading newspapers, watching the television, different programmes, actually plays quite a large part in our lives. I'm not going to ask you which television programmes you watch or which newspapers you read, but I think it could be quite interesting. And we tend, I suspect, to watch that version either that we relate to, that we can key into, or to one we trust. I know I tend to do that. Not surprisingly, you might gather that the paper in our house is The Times. I tend to watch the BBC. I don't tend to watch some of the other programmes. But sometimes I think, maybe I should be reading other newspapers, because if I read other newspapers, I'm going to get a different perspective on what's going on in the world. It might not be untrue or anything else, but I'd get a different perspective. And the people who wrote our Gospels and our Bible are a bit like journalists. The Bible has been given to help us in our way, on our way and our journey with Jesus, and the different books in the New Testament are written with different slants and aimed at different audiences. They tell the truth, but they're just slightly different in the way they're put together. So the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, tell the story of Jesus before he was born, that he's going to come, and John the Baptist and the birth and the wise men and Christmas, and then his earthly life and all that went on, his death and resurrection. And we read about his teaching and his miracles, each gospel giving us a different perspective on those things. But John's gospel that we heard read this morning was written for folks with a Greek way of thinking. They had a completely different approach to how they thought. And from the start, he accepts from the beginning of the gospel that Jesus is the Son of God. He is both human and divine, something we find difficult to understand, but John accepts that. And he builds up to the passion narrative, which is a large part of the book of John, including seven signs to support his statement of which this is one, the raising of Lazarus is one. And at the outset, beginning of chapter 1, John makes a startling claim about Christ. He says, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. That would have been a hugely shocking statement to Greek thinkers. And he carefully validates why he said this. Why he claims that Jesus is the Son, validate the claim that Jesus is the Son of God. And earlier on in the chapter we had read, it says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Christian life is a journey for which we have Jesus as our constant companion. And Charlie has come this morning. His parents and friends have given thanks for his arrival. And we pray that will be his Christian journey beginning as he learns more about what Christ has done for him and the part in his life. It's a journey where we learn day by day to grow in our understanding of what he wants for us. That we might, as John puts it, have life in Christ's name. We don't always get it right. Well, maybe some of you get it right, but I think most of us probably don't always get it right. In fact, we more often get it wrong. But God loves us. He sent his Son that we might have life, true life in him. He wants to teach us and encourage us to follow him more closely day by day. Each one of us here this morning, Charlie, Ella, family, all everybody else in church worshipping this morning, are called to be saints, to follow Jesus because of all that he has done for each one of us. And in this story we had read about the raising of Lazarus, we can, first of all, share in the grief that his sisters and his friends experienced. We are told that the anguish Jesus went through himself. He wept at the tomb. He was a human being. He was shaking. He was mourning. He was weeping with grief. It happens all the time. And I'm sure that all of us here today have experienced at some time that feeling of loss, sometimes disbelief that certain things could have happened. Death to most of us is a very fearful enemy. We don't understand, and we don't actually know what is beyond the death of our earthly bodies. But Jesus is here at the tomb of Lazarus to demonstrate God's absolute power of life over death. And yet he reacts, as we all do, to a life cut short, to the desolation of losing someone we love and sharing the pain of others who mourn him too. Jesus demonstrated God's power over death by raising Lazarus from physical death to resume his earthly life. Jesus himself died a physical death on the cross. He died trusting God, but also crying out those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus rose again 3 days later, he clearly demonstrated, as he did with the raising of Lazarus, the victory that he had won over death. Jesus tells those present at Lazarus' tomb that, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So, how do we see these words in the light of our earthly life, our life as saints? What makes a saint? Do you believe you are a saint? What makes a saint is someone who tastes the sweetness of God's love, savours it, enjoys it, and thanks God for it. We are not truly alive because we have a physical life in us, even though we may be healthy and fit. But we are truly alive because we have the Spirit of God within us. A life that is directed away from God is not a true life. We only have true life if that Spirit is within us. The whole purpose of creation is to mirror God's creativity and God's love. If we are mirroring God's love, God's peace, God's joy, others will know that they too are in the presence of God. Lives will be transformed when others see how saints live. When others see how we live as saints, as followers of Jesus, mirroring that love, peace and joy, God's church will grow, will continue to grow. And if we direct our lives to him and help others to direct their lives to him, it's a very tall order for all those who follow Jesus. Now, I have a little slight example here. I don't think, we're so many in church this morning, I don't think I've got enough for everybody. So, children first, I think they would like something. A lollipop, is she now a lollipop? Yes. Can you keep the cellophane paper? That's very crucial to keep the cellophane paper. Now, I'm going to just pass a few along the line, so if adults just share them out, and then take the cellophane paper off and hold it. You all wonder what's coming, don't you? So, if you can take the cellophane off, hold the cellophane very carefully. Right. Now, first of all, we have a sweet. And I was talking about tasting the sweetness of God's love and savouring it. Those of you who enjoy sweets, and I know not everybody will enjoy sweets, but those of you who do will. But if we take the cellophane wrapper and look at it, okay, it might have our sticky fingerprints on it. It might have bits of toffee on it. It's certainly crumpled. Now, what happens when you look through it? You can just about see, can't you? Not very clearly, but you can see through it. And when I was delivering this sermon at Chilton, very obligingly, the sun came pouring through the window, but I haven't got it today. But if the sun was shining, the sun would be shining quite brightly through that crumpled bit of cellophane. And we can look beyond the sticky bits and creases. And that is how saints view their lives. The saints are here in a real ordinary world, some of it bright and breezy, and some of it very heavy with sadness and messiness. But if we keep, as saints, keep looking through the messy experiences of life and the good experiences of life, if we keep looking through, even though it looks a bit murky and we're not quite sure, it helps us to understand more and more of God's love that actually shines through. We can see through the cellophane, so see through all that's going on. If we try to live... You can eat your sweets now if you haven't begun already. If we try to live our earthly lives as though there is no God, then we shall destroy the very thing for which we exist. And we shall drive ourselves further and further away from the source of life, which is God. Real saints have their feet firmly fixed in the real world, loving and appreciating the world we live in, allowing God to help them deal with things that go wrong. They are people who take the commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus Christ came to this earth to show us the Father. And I wonder if this morning you can tell someone in church or someone when you go home, how Jesus Christ has been working in your life. Share it. Let it go out. Don't keep it in. How you have been growing more and more in the image of Christ, because he has shown us the way to the Father. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus suffered a cruel death, and when he was obedient to God's will and took the sins of the whole world on his shoulder, that each one of us this morning might have a true life. How do you and I, as saints or saints on the journey, how do we respond to his death on that cross? Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we would know that he had conquered sin and death. How do you and I respond each day to the wonderful life that we have in Christ through his death and resurrection? So the reading from Revelation tells a little of what life after death will be like. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Amen.